Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 185 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I know it's been a minute. I didn't do one last week because I was traveling, and man, I don't want to take another week and a half off. Too much happens. There's too much to talk about. Listen, as I was talking to my friend Colette, and I said, here's the thing. Stupid don't rest. Stupid don't get tired. Stupid works. You understand? Stupid puts in work. Now, Albert Einstein, famous quote that I love, said the only difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits. And I absolutely believe it. It's been a rough week and a half. But anyway, I'm going to get started. First of all, let me tell you about my week last week, because even for me, and I'm a road warrior, I'm in the air all the time, but even for me, it was a crazy week because I was at a different airport every day. So Monday morning, I flew from Memphis to L.A. Tuesday, I flew from L.A. to Boston with a 3-hour delay because of weather in Boston. Wednesday, I flew from Boston to Albany and drove to Lake George for Americaid. Great gig. Thursday, I drove back to Albany Airport, flew to San Francisco, drove to Napa to do the Napa Valley Jazz Getaway, and Friday, flew back to New York to finish Americaid. So, 5 days, you want to talk air travel in America, I'm here for you. I will just tell you that summer travel kills me. It is, the airport's crowded, people don't know how it works. TSA pre-check, they just start assigning people. There was like a whole kid's soccer team or something going through pre-check. That helped move it faster. But it is what it is. That's why I didn't record last week. I was traveling all over the place and there wasn't really any time or space to sit down and lay out the podcast and record it. So here I am. Thanks for listening. Let's get to it. The big news last week, the story, and in my opinion, also the non-story, was Comey's testimony to the Senate. As you know, James Comey, fired FBI director, was supposed to have this hearing, and there'd be testimony and bombshells and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, at the end of it, everything was exactly the same. After his testimony, people on the left still said that Trump should be charged with, is guilty of, et cetera, obstruction of justice. And people on the right say that Baby Hands was exonerated. Well, they wouldn't actually use a big word like exonerated. They said Baby Hands is off the hook. Baby Hands didn't do a thing wrong. And all they heard was Comey admitting that he leaked some stories, leaked some information to the Times. I think it was to the Times. He leaked it to the press through a friend. And they were like, oh my God, he's leaking classified documents. He should be arrested. You know, classified documents. Like Baby Hands gave to classified information to the Russians at that dinner a few weeks ago. But that was different. That's okay, because that's Baby Hands making America great again, some bitch. So anyway, nothing big. I mean, yeah, it was big, but it wasn't big because at the end, there wasn't anything said that we hadn't already heard. We already knew that he kept notes because he believed Trump would lie and he wanted to protect himself. And he was uncomfortable being alone with Trump, and that Trump asked him to lay off of Flynn, and Trump asked him if he was himself was being investigated, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think there was anything new there. Now, we do now have an explanation for the whole thing because, you know, thankfully we have Paul Ryan right there in government to explain to us how these things work. And Paul Ryan said that, hey, this is Donald Trump's first time being president. He doesn't really know how it works. So he didn't know that the president is not supposed to attempt to intimidate the director of the FBI while he's conducting an investigation. I mean, how would you know that? How would anyone know that the president is not supposed to try to intimidate the director of the FBI who's investigating him? Yeah, you wouldn't know that. So fortunately, by the 2020 election, we will have a new book out. It's called Being President for Dummies. And hopefully there'll be a chapter in there about not trying to intimidate or manipulate the FBI while they're investigating you. See, that's all we needed. That's all we needed, President for Dummies. And, you know, it had to be small because you got baby hands turning pages. But then you could, you know, he would know that he wasn't supposed to do it. So, bombshell, not really. I mean, saw, you know, the questioning, I'm not going to go through it play by play. It was examined and over-examined and examined again for 2 days, you know. Pundits got to work, man. Pundits, that's a good job. I wonder if I can ever get a job being a pundit because they work a lot. Just sit around talking about nothing, much like I'm doing right now. Speaking of Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan had a photo op, okay? New Jersey middle schoolers from South Orange Middle School were in D.C., and Paul wanted to take a picture with him. Got to take a picture with the kiddies, show that I care about education. Of course, you don't really care about education. You got Betsy DeVos stripping education. This is a public school. Maybe it's his first time seeing public school kids. Maybe that's what it was. He's never seen them before. He was shocked, amazed. They come in all different colors, apparently. Well, about 100 of these kids refused to be in a picture with Paul Ryan. They said that they didn't want to appear to support him and or his policies. And, of course, the right-wing trolls came out and attacked these kids. And they said, these kids getting brainwashed by the teachers. How would they know in eighth grade anything about government or government policies? Really? In the eighth grade, you didn't know anything about government? You didn't know? Well, that's true. Being president is hard. And if you've never done it before, you might not know there were three branches of government, et cetera, et cetera. Well, thank God for Schoolhouse Rock. I knew how it worked by eighth grade. I think I actually knew how it worked by fourth grade, definitely by sixth grade. You know why? Because that's called teaching. It's called education. And the right-wing trolls came out and they said that these kids have been brainwashed. And who would know more about brainwashing than extreme right-wing people, honestly? So beautifully, a student who refused to be in the picture, Jordan McRae Robinson, was one of the close to 100 eighth grade students who refused to be in the picture, wrote an op-ed. They wrote a piece and they said, Jordan started out with, I wasn't going to be used as a publicity stunt. Jordan, going to go a little into this and then talk about it. So Jordan wrote, on Sunday, May 28th, Mr. Ryan's Instagram comment section, my peers and I were criticized about our reasoning behind not taking the picture. We were called losers and stupid and brats. And one man wrote, how did the eighth graders get so brainwashed to understand the politics and decide who's a villain? I suggest this is the work of the teachers. You know something? How beautiful is this? McRae Robinson, she wrote, I am here to tell the nation that although we're only in the eighth grade, we have our own thoughts and opinions. And I decided I didn't want to take a picture with someone who doesn't have my best interests in mind. Then went on to talk about cutting healthcare for 23 million people, about their views toward the LGBTQ community, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? In the eighth grade, you can have a political opinion. In the eighth grade, you're 14. That means you're 4 years from voting. These kids are going to vote in the 2020 election. Thank God they know what's going on. And kudos to them for having an opinion. So it was great. It was great. Good for these kids. And I hope Ryan noticed. I don't think he did, but I hope he did because that would be great. So, man, it's just, again, I can't take this much time off. You can't keep up with their bullshit, okay? Now, I talked about the kids in the eighth grade and the right wing, but who am I to say that right wingers don't care about kids? They absolutely care about kids. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump's family cares so much about kids that they have a golf tournament, a charitable golf tournament to raise money for kids' cancer charities. Now, the only problem with that is, the money doesn't really go to the kids' cancer charities. This scam, this bullshit, this is like, honestly, this is like either trying to, it's sort of like trying to follow mob money laundering schemes or tax evasion schemes. Like, it's really, I'm not going to say difficult. I'm going to say it's a long and winding road to see how the Trump family, the Trump Foundation, the whatever you want to call it, Baby Hands Inc., how they got this money and use this money for themselves. So it started out, Eric Trump, who runs the Trump Organization. Now, they've hosted this golf tournament on behalf of St. Jude's Children Research Hospital, and it's done a ton of good, and they made over $11 million, okay, through this. Now, when they started it, they said, listen, all the money's going to go to charity. We're having it at a Trump golf course. They don't charge us to use the golf course. Most of the other costs are donated. So it's a beautiful thing. We get a lot of money and we give it all the kids. And that's a great story. Problem is, story's not true. Wow, a Trump story that's not true? Yeah, believe it or not, a Trump story that's not true. The Trump Organization received payments for use of the golf course. There's more than 1.2 million that has no documented recipients past the Trump Organization. Golf charity experts say the listed expenses defy any reasonable cost justification for a one-day golf tournament. And so here's what they do. They get the money. More than half a million of the money was redonated to other charities in the name of the Trump Foundation. In other words, you donated to the Trump Foundation to give to this cancer hospital, and they took your money and they donated it to some other charity saying they're making the donation so they get the tax deduction. And I can't go into the detail of this. It is. Okay, here, I'm going to try, okay? Trump set up the foundation as a public charity. And again, it's allowed to raise most of its money from outside donors. So in 2007, Eric Trump golf tournament took place, raised $220,000. Said he got a free golf course, donated goods, so that every possible penny went to charity. There was no staff, nothing. So in the first 4 years, the golf tournament, 2007 to 2010, total expenses averaged about $50,000. Not quite zero, but not too bad. 2011, things took a turn. Now the cost for the tournament went from $46,000 to $142,000. Well, in the beginning, they weren't being billed for the golf club. Then Trump found out. He was like, what are you donating all this stuff? No paper trail, no credit. He lost it. He said, everybody gets billed. So now they had to start paying to use the golf course. Then they started charging more to play golf. Okay, it started out with costs of about $50,000 to have this golf tournament. Now, keep in mind, this is a one-day golf tournament, okay? About 200 golfers, about 400 people having dinner. So, in the beginning, $50,000. Last year, they claimed it cost $322,000. Other organizers of golf tournaments said, can you imagine the party we put on if you gave us that budget? $322,000 for a one-day golf tournament, 200 golfers and 400 people. Suddenly, the board went from 7 of his friends to 13 paid people. Suddenly you had to pay for using the golf course. You had to pay for a private jet to fly people in and out. They paid for some kind of copper wine server that, you know, they happen to be in the wine business, and so on and so on and so on. Now, here's another thing they did. Companies that they donated money to held golf tournaments at Trump golf courses. So like one company, the Alibis, which how great a name is that? Huh? How beautiful is that? They gave them $5,000, and they later, the same company, held a golf tournament at a Trump golf course, and they paid, I'm sorry, I said Alibis. That was just wishful thinking. It was actually called Ableis. They provide services to people with disabilities. The Trump Foundation sent $5,000 to them. Over the next 5 years, they spent $240,000 hosting tournaments at Trump properties. There was another one. And again, just a beautiful name. The Little Babyface Foundation. Get it? Babyface, baby hands. They gave... Eric Trump paid $15,000 for a table at a gala for the Little Babyface Foundation. Over the next 3 years, Little Babyface spent $100,000 to hold tournaments at Trump golf courses, and on and on and on. It's just a big ass scam. Just a big scam, and that's how they do things. Now, so much for charity, right? Now, what about business? What about just straight up business, straight up things for sale? Well, apparently you can buy a green card. Yeah, you can buy a green card, okay? The Kushner companies, okay, which, you know Kushner, you know that name? You know that name? The son-in-law. He stepped down this year from his company, but his company was involved in a development in New Jersey that's going to cost $150 million. And they wanted Chinese investors. So they just straight up told the Chinese partner of theirs, Kiowa, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but Kiowa touted its relationship with the current administration as a guarantee that investors will get a green card. So you invest $500,000 into this development from China through Kiowa, and you're guaranteed a green card because, you know, they know people at the White House. Now, see, you think this is bad and it sounds corrupt and evil and everything else. But I say maybe this part making America great again. And I'll tell you how. This is how you're going to make America great. Because you use the same plan to build the wall. Now, granted, you know, Mexican migrant workers may not have $500,000 to buy a green card like a rich Chinese investor. But they probably got $50. So you just charge them less. There's more of them. There's more of them than rich Chinese people. You charge them like $50 a piece, and you use that money to build the wall to keep them out. And that's how you make America great again. Now, I know. I know that sounds ridiculous. And I know all of this sounds horribly unethical. I mean, to actually claim a charity is to help children with cancer, and it's really just to help your family make money. To claim that you're against immigration and blah, 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 but you're selling green cards to rich Chinese people. This sounds totally unethical. And it might be unethical, but you don't have to worry about unethical because Baby Hands has decided that his entire senior staff is exempt from White House ethics rules. Now, these White House ethics rules, when Baby Hands was elected, he stepped in, he said, I'm a clean swamp. I'm draining the swamp. And he came up with ethics rules for people who are working in his administration and his White House. Now, the idea of Trump ethics rules, this is not a high bar. As a matter of fact, this is as low as a bar can get. As a matter of fact, this is like playing jump rope when you have to jump over a rope that's just lying on the floor. That's what it takes to pass Trump ethics rules. But there are still some who have problems with it. So he's exempted his entire senior staff. We're talking about Bannon, Spicer, Conway, probably his daughter, Ivanka. All they're just exempt from those ethics rules because those rules get in the way of making America great again. Some bitch, you can't make America great again and have ethics at the same time. So he's just listed way you these people get waivers to the ethics pledge, which he made up in the first place. It is truly, it's unbelievable. At this point, what the hell? What the hell? You just, see, this is why I don't, this is why I don't do this. This is why I don't want to just try to follow the Trump White House on my podcast, because it never stops. It never stops. So you have a family that's got a ripoff golf tournament, that's selling green cards, that lied, the man who lied about the FBI investigation and who knows what else. He's tweeting angry shit. He's making up words. And he just said, you know something? I'm just going to just take a pass on these ethics rules that I made up. That's the beauty of it. No one made up these. He made up these ethics rules and then said, wow, I'm gonna need to give all my people a waiver from the rules that I made up, because, you know, these ethics are just getting in the way of the unethical shit that we're doing. But his supporters are loyal, and they said that this the libtards, I was called a libtard last week. I was a little proud of that. Thought that had gone away with the, what were the guys with the funny hats? The Tea Party. But nope, we libtards are still here. So anyway, his supporters support him, and that's good. And I hope a lot of his supporters are doctors or somehow practice medicine, because they're losing their health insurance. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So Anthem, the nation's second largest health insurer, announced it is withdrawing entirely from the individual market in Ohio. They're like, the uncertainty about markets due to President Trump's vagueness about whether he will approve paying subsidies for deductibles and copays for the poorest Obamacare enrollees, said, we have to get out. So basically, because nobody knows what Trump Care is going to be. And Anthem is like, the government's supposed to pay these deductibles for these really poor people under Obamacare. But since we don't know if that's going to happen, we're going to get out. We're going to get out in advance. Now, they're withdrawing from 18 counties, leaving approximately 10,500 Anthem customers without insurance. And you know where these customers are? Appalachia, the poor hill country people of Ohio will not have insurance. But that some bitch Obama, some bitch ain't going to have no Obamacare, ain't going to have no. So now, besides no dental care, which we already knew about, they're not going to have health care. They're not going to have health care. We're talking about 10,000 people, zoom, lost it one day. Still supporting Trump, though. Still supporting Trump. Still with it. Still with it. And good for them. Good for them, because he wouldn't lie to them, because that would violate his White House ethics pledge. Oh, sorry. Never mind. All right. I really want to wrap this up. I'm done. I can't do it. Oh, shit. Air traffic control. Did I mention this one? Yeah. He wants to privatize air traffic control. Baby Hands wants to privatize air traffic control. What could go wrong there? What air traffic control, the people who keep an eye on the traffic, whose job is to make sure planes don't crash into each other. He wants to privatize that. He wants to give control of it to the big airlines. Because, yeah, what could go wrong? It's not like they would put their own planes first. It's not like they would ignore smaller carriers or private aviation, right? Don't take my word for it. You know who's against privatizing air traffic control? Pilots. Pilots. Let me say it again. Pilots. You know, the guys who drive airplanes, the guys and women. I don't mean to be sexist, but I'm just saying. The people who drive airplanes, they actually fly them, but I'm trying to make it simple. They are against it. Can you imagine, let's just privatize traffic control. From now on, red lights will be controlled by the biggest trucking companies. What could go wrong? You see what I'm saying? This is a model that has never worked, okay? The deregulation of the airlines, the privatization movement has never worked. Remember they privatized phone companies? If you're old enough, remember when they broke up AT&T and we had 27 phone companies? There was like MCI and all these little regional. And then what did they all do? They all combined. They all came back. They called them baby bells. They were baby bell phone companies. Kids, you have cell phones. You don't know about this. Let it go. Maybe they teach you in history. They had all these little phone companies. And all these little phone companies started going broke. And you know what they had to do? They had to merge and they had to combine. And you know what we ended up with? A big-ass phone company. You know why? Because communication should be handled by one company. It just makes sense. Air traffic should be handled by the government. That's who the government is, not this evil entity, okay? Granted, the government is not efficient. The government does a lot of things bad, but the government is for the people. There are certain things that should be run for everybody, like air traffic control, you know, keeping an eye on the sky so we don't get hit by a plane. I'm talking about when you're walking down the street and two planes crash into each other in the sky and a piece falls down on your head and you're like, some bitch didn't, there was no red light. Both of them were in the privatized air traffic control. This is what I mean by stupid don't rest. See, stupid don't rest. Stupid don't rest. That's how you come up with ideas like this, because you're up at 3 in the morning and smart is getting some sleep. Smart got shit to do tomorrow. Smart got to work. Smart is sleep at 3 in the morning. Stupid is up. Stupid's watching late night TV and coming up with ideas. Hey, let's privatize air traffic control. Beyond belief. And you know what? I bet it happens, honestly. I bet it happens because this is a corporate thing. It's the big airlines want this, and I bet it happens. Wow. All right. I'm done with baby hands. What else happened while I was gone? Well, Bill Maher decided he was a house nigger. Figured it was okay to say he's a house nigger because he's in his studio talking to some white guy from Nebraska, some senator, whatever. Senator said, we got to work in the field. And Bill said, ha ha, not me. I'm a house nigger. And of course, there was a big backlash. And Bill was like, I'm a comedian. And it just came up in the moment. I just went for the laugh and I didn't get it. I blah, blah, blah. I'm so tired of this bullshit. Ice Cube was on his show a week later, scheduled to be on, promoting a movie or a show. I'm not sure what, but anyway, Ice Cube basically schooled Bill Maher. And the thing he said that I thought was great, he said, this word is like a knife, okay? And a knife is a tool in one hand, but a weapon in another. And Bill Maher and all these white people who say, well, I hear it in rap music and blah, blah, blah. Why can't I say it? Because you can't. I said that joke a long time ago. Like, I don't know why you can't, but those are the rules. Because like Ice Cube said, it just doesn't feel right. The word coming from a white person, it just doesn't feel right. Now, my view on this, okay, because I think Ice Cube was very nice about this. You guys want to be brave? You want to say nigger? Okay, but you have to be brave in a place that requires bravery. So I don't want to hear you say you're the house nigger in your studio in Hollywood. I want you to go to a black neighborhood. I want you to go to a basketball court where the brothers playing ball and just let the brothers know that, hey, man, I'm here. I'm just one of you niggers. And let's see how brave you are, because that's bravery, okay? Do I think Bill should get fired? No, I don't think Bill should get fired. I think Bill should donate like $1 million to the United Negro College Fund and shut the fuck up. That's what I think Bill should do. In other racist news, a study was conducted by Captain Obvious. Well, actually, it wasn't done by Captain Obvious. It was done by researchers at Stanford University, led by Rob Voigt, a graduate student in the linguistics department. So in other words, these people study language and they know what words mean. And they said that Oakland police, and there's a reason they chose Oakland, and I'll go into it, but they said Oakland police tend to treat black drivers with less respect than white ones. Really? No. Really? They treat black drivers with less respect than white drivers? Well, I'll be damned. See, I didn't know black people were treated with less respect because I wasn't paying attention to drivers. I was paying attention to all the unarmed black people getting shot. Who knew? The reason that they chose Oakland is large population, 420,000. Actually, a racially diverse population. Now, Oakland's thought of as a black city, but it's actually racially diverse. 39% white, 26% black, 16% Asian, 6% two or more races, and 26% Latino. Now, what they did was they got the recordings from body cameras, 183 hours worth of footage, and they used, and these, it's going to be a lot of numbers, so I'm going to try to keep it simple, okay? They transcribed, basically they got traffic stops involving 682 black drivers and 299 white ones. They didn't comment on the fact that they had more black drivers stopped than white ones. I will, Captain Obvious. But anyway, they had, once the footage was transcribed, they had 36,738 distinct comments or utterances made by 245 police officers. Okay, so you got that? 36,738 utterances. Now, what they did, they randomly selected 414 out of the 36,000 utterances, and they paired each one with the driver comment that immediately preceded it. In other words, driver says A, officer says B. Okay, these were the exchanges. Now, they gave these to 70, they got 70 volunteers who agreed to rate the encounter with words like respectful, polite, friendly, formal, or impartial. And each exchange was rated at least 10 times. Okay, so here we go again. Sorry about the numbers. I know it's a little confusing, but this is very well done because this is very, it makes it very random and it makes it very fair. You select 414 out of 36,000 utterances. Okay, now you take 70 volunteers, and each of these 414 utterances is checked at least 10 times by different volunteers out of the 70, right? Okay, so we have a definite randomness to it. It is scientifically done. Now listen, if you're one of those who doesn't believe in science, which would be half the United States, then this shit don't matter. But then if you wouldn't be listening to me anyway, so I'm going to move on. A clear pattern emerged. When the motorist was black, police officers were judged to be less respectful, less polite, less friendly, less formal, and less impartial. Less on all things. The 71% of the variance was traced to respect. Okay, so they were less respectful, less polite, less friendly, less formal, and less impartial, but 71% of them were less respectful. And once the model had been tuned, in other words, once they figured this out and did all the numbers, they said they could tell, okay, it was, the difference was so stark that in 2/3 of the cases, it was possible to predict whether the motorist was black or white based solely on the words used by the officers. just within 5% of the time the officers talked. As soon as the officers opened their mouth, they could tell who they were talking to. Now, and they tested out, they had enough of a model. It was widespread enough and done randomly and anonymously enough that they were able to test out various theories. So, why were the police less respectful? Was it because black drivers were pulled over for more serious offenses than white drivers? No. Was it a consequence of officers speaking more formally with white motorists and more less formally, more colloquially, sorry, took me a minute, more colloquially with black motorists? Nope. Could the actions of a few bad apple officers account for the overall trend? Nope. Did this discrepancy arise only in cases that resulted in a citation, but not in everyday interactions? Nope. This is the quote. We have found that police officers' interactions with blacks tend to be more fraught, even when no arrest is made and no use of force occurs. The racial disparities are clear and consistent, yet the cause of these disparities are less clear. Less clear to who? Let's clear. The cops are more disrespectful of black people, but we're not sure why. All right. That's that one. And last but not least, if you're a conservative in California, you've had enough. You've had enough of this shit. You're fed up with the tree huggers and the alternative energies and the gays and the treating Mexicans like they're human. So here we go. Conservative Move is a new company. Conservative Move is capitalizing on the belief that blue states like California have become too liberal and unwelcoming conservatives. So the solution is move to Texas. You know what? I agree 1,000%. You know, they say liberals and conservatives can't work together. Well, damn it. I'm on board. I'll help you in any way possible. Move your ass to Texas. Please don't let the palm trees hit your ass on the way up. That's right. Conservative Move is trying to move families to the North Texas region, specifically Collin County, Texas, which claims to have some of the best schools, which named one of the best places to live. Great schools, good paying jobs, low crime. And the bottom line is it's a home for like-minded conservatives. Probably have Klan meetings in the daytime. Don't even have to wait till nighttime. Texas is unmistakably more conservative and blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Please, please go. Please go. Don't. Now, there's a debate about living in considerable in political bubbles, right? We don't interact. And so I'm good with that. I am good with that. Live in a bubble. Take your bubble to Texas. This is the Republic of California. We like it here. Please leave us alone. Make America great again. Now, you want to get out of these liberal states, right? Because what good are these liberal states doing? Well, liberal states kind of where all the money is, you know? It's kind of like pretty much where all the money is. We're carrying the red states. Blue states carry the red states, plain and simple. Texas makes money. The rest of the red states are broke. Blue states are making money. Look at any study of the federal budget. More money comes in from the blue states like California and New York, you know, where the liberals live with the queers and the Mexicans. But just, in, you know, up in Oakland, police are less respectful. So you got that going. But anyway, enough numbers. Don't worry about numbers. You go. You get your ass up. You call this conservative move people. Say, listen, you boys got a truck? I need a truck. Can't fly because there ain't going to be no air traffic control. Some bitch, you get me a truck and I'll truck my ass on down to Texas. Please, please go. Finally, and on the topic of race and shit I just don't understand, but God bless him, Darrell Wallace Jr. has become the first black driver in the NASCAR Cup Series since 2006. You heard about this guy. He won one of their truck races a couple of years ago. Anyway, he was promoted by the Richard Petty Motorsports team because Eric Almirola got hurt. He drove in his first race this weekend in Pocono, came in 26th, not a great finish. He kind of heat stroke got to him, but he's there. He's in NASCAR. I don't know why. I honestly don't know. He said this is his dream, and I support him. Good for him. He said he's dealt with his all his life. His parents talked about the racism he's had to deal with from the fans and from the drivers. He said he doesn't even hear it. He wants to drive a race car. So God bless you. Good luck, my friend. You don't look that good in a bikini. You're not going to get the pass that Danica Patrick did for she still hasn't won anything, but you're there. And I wish you the best. Drive the shit out of that car. Turn left. It's the only advice I got for you, my friend. Turn left. Can black people drive race cars? Well, three-time Formula One world champion Lewis Hamilton is proof, yes. Lewis is arguably best driver in the world. Formula One is best driving series, and he's champ. But anyway, good for this kid. Good luck in NASCAR, and I hope you do well. That's it. That's all I got. I am done. Man, sorry it took me this long to get to yapping again. Hope I didn't yap too long. I am going to be at the Improv and the Laugh Factory Tuesday night, June 13th. Next weekend, I'm looking forward to getting back to Tampa. I'm going to be at Side Splitters in Tampa. But I'm going to do another podcast between now and then so that it doesn't have to be this long. Watch out for baby hands. Be careful in the crowded skies. And I'll talk to you soon. This is Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention. You are. And I appreciate it.